Rise if you are able. Let's worship.
Good morning. Sing with us.
I heard an old, old story.
We
Y'all can remain seated, or just be seated, and children, stay with us for just a second.
How many of you knew that the Korean Methodist Church met upstairs in our youth room and had church every Sunday? A bunch of you did. How many of you didn't know that? A few of you. What a blessing. They are worshiping with us this morning. Isn't that awesome? Can I get you guys to come right here in front? We want to pray a prayer of blessing over you guys. And they also have a large online presence. Pastor Park, raise your hand. This is Pastor Park and his beautiful wife and their church. If y'all come right here. We are so honored that you guys get to worship upstairs. Y'all's is at 11 o'clock, right? So y'all are worshiping around the same time that we are. If you want to pray over this church, if this group, please come and lay a hand on them. Can y'all kind of scrunch? And besides all that, you're precious. You're a cutie. I hope as you feel a hand on a shoulder, church, I hope that you know that that's the love of Jesus that we're wanting to convey to you. So let's pray. Jesus, I'm reminded that you are the God of all languages. You're the God of all people. And I just love this group, Lord, and I pray blessings on the Korean Methodist Church, God, and on Pastor Park and on this fellowship, God. Would you bring more people, pray blessings of finances for them, Lord, and just that your spirit would continue to be with them and would lift them up, Father, in your mighty hand. Father, we are honored that we are brothers and sisters in Christ with this beautiful church, these beautiful people. Lord, bless them. Show us how to be a further blessing to them and them to us. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And if you want to, remind me your name.
Oh, Shane.
Shane is going to sing. Are you going to sing in English or Korean?
Oh, both, actually.
Okay, cool. I don't have to sing along the Korean part, though, right? Okay, he's gonna get you going, and they'll get that started.
Saw you.
Pastor Park, you're keeping him hidden upstairs, man. That was awesome. It was awesome. Children, it's time for you to, if you would like, to meet Miss Carlene and Miss Teresa over here for Children's Church.
We need the Lord, amen, to heal our land. Sound like it starts with repentance. Well, welcome everybody. Good to see you this morning. Good to have you worshiping with us online. If you want to check into whichever service you're attending, that would be awesome. Got a lot of events coming up. I want to hit them just real quickly. This coming Wednesday night is our annual fourth and fifth grade fundraiser. And the children are raising funds to go to the Superstart event, which is in the Metroplex, typically the latter part of January, early part of February. And we've discovered in the past that we need a little more time to serve that meal. So the meal time will be from 5 to 6:15. So if you're a group leader, just be mindful of that. We'll start our ministry times at 6:15. And then this coming Friday evening and Saturday through mid-afternoon, the Global Methodist Church is hosting a History Makers Conference, which is designed for church leadership in our area to come together just for a time of teaching and reflection and worship. You don't necessarily have to be in leadership to attend that. And if you want to be a part of that, you can find our pastor's weekly email. There is a link attached to that email that you can sign up. Also, I'll try to get an email out this week with that sign-up link as well. And since our building is going to be occupied on Saturday morning, the second Saturday, our men's breakfast, which typically falls on the second Saturday, has been moved to the third Saturday. So that's the 18th, men's breakfast on the 18th. Starting at 7:30. I think most of you are aware of the Abilene Praise, P-R-A-Y-E-S initiative, where churches in Abilene have taken a day to pray around the clock. Our day is the 10th of the month. If you're not involved in that effort and would like to be, just reach out to me. And the goal was to have our city covered in prayer 24/7. I think our community is really close to making that happen. And something they started around the first of the year is having a second Saturday prayer time somewhere in our community, bringing churches together to pray at that particular location over a particular area of our city. And they've decided or felt led to maximize our prayer efforts. And so they're encouraging churches to find an area, target an area in the close proximity to the church. And so we're going to meet at Wiley High School. I'll be there 8:45 this coming Saturday morning. We'll pray for 30 or 45 minutes. I would love for you to join me and the others that will be there. Pray over that campus. Pray that the Holy Spirit moves and people's lives are radically changed. And lastly, our trunk or treat is October the 25th. And this year, as every year, we're going to shine the light of Jesus on our community. You know, in the past 2 years, we've had about 500 kids come through. And if you add parents and grandparents to that mix, we can easily have 1,500 to 2,000 people on our campus for that hour and a half, 4 to 5:30. And we want to make sure that they know that Jesus loves them. So our vehicles will have scripture on it. We'll pass out Bibles to every child. Also, we'll have our prayer tent available for those in need prayer. And, you know, there may be a lot of people that might not ever step foot inside of a church, but this is an opportunity for us to engage them out on the grounds, praying that the Holy Spirit will move and people's lives are radically impacted by that effort. I don't know. I just feel like we need to redeem that season back. I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody but me. did to Joyce. You were shaking your head. So two of us. Rest of you disregard what I said if it didn't make any sense. So for our prayer time this morning, I would like to pray for our nation, that God would heal our land, prompted by this beautiful, beautiful song and prayer to the Lord. And my goodness, we need Jesus. Desperately need Jesus. And so I'm going to pray. If you want to come to the altar and pray during this time, you're more than welcome to do that. And let's just cry out to the Lord for the Holy Spirit to move, to convict us, to heal us, and to heal our land. You can come to the altar as I pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love for us. And oh, my goodness. How desperately we need you. And Father, been maybe complacent. We haven't pushed back against the darkness, maybe like we should. And so, Father, we repent for that. I repent for allowing the world to influence my decisions and Lord, not allowing the Holy Spirit to influence those decisions. My gosh, if your people will humble themselves and pray and confess their sins, your promise is you will heal our land. It's almost like, Father, you're waiting on us. So, Lord, stir the church. Stir us deeply. Father, I pray that our hearts break for what breaks your heart. And Lord, just give us the boldness, give us the power, anoint us to share the love of Jesus with a hurting world, with a dying world. And Father, our call is Abilene, Texas. When you gave the Great Commission, it was Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And so, Lord, that's our call. And Father, I'm grateful for you allowing us to support missionaries around the world. But at the same time, my goodness, there's mission work that needs to be done here. And so, Lord, would you show us, Father, ways in which we can glorify you more. And God, heal our land. I pray against the division in our culture. God, I pray against the lies of the enemy that are being spread through the news media. It's a lying spirit that causes division. And Lord, I just pray against that. Help us, oh God. Help us, oh God. Help us not to get discouraged in this season. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors through Him. We are victorious. Remind us of that, Holy Spirit, on a daily basis when we get discouraged. Oh, we love you so. We trust you. We will look to no other but you. Some may trust in chariots, some may trust in horses, but we trust in the Lord God and none other. So here I cry, O Lord. Forgive our sin and heal our land. We thank you for this opportunity to worship with our brothers and sisters. Revelation 7, every tribe, tongue, and nation will worship Jesus at your feet. And thank you for giving us that opportunity this morning. And we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you again, church, for your financial faithfulness. Our giving options are on the screen. You can also give through the offering boxes by the doors. I want to remind you, we'll have some people that would really love to pray for you after the service. If you need prayer, I encourage you to take advantage of that. Let's stand as we continue to worship the Lord together.
As though heaven had lost.
So glad you're worshiping with us this morning. If you are our guest, we're especially glad that you're here. Hope you feel the number one thing that I hope you receive from this service is that you feel the Holy Spirit here. If you are our guest, there is a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe. It says guest registration. We'd love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but I'd love to meet you at this. I'll be at this end of the foyer after the service, and would love to meet you. Have a free gift for our guests. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist has been baptizing and preparing the way for the Lord. We pick it up in verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome here. We ask you to speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm continuing the sermon series on We Believe. We Believe. And today's message is One God, Three Persons. One God, Three Persons. Most Sundays we recite the Apostles' Creed. And I want you, we're going to recite it a little differently today. We are going to, Pastor Park, would you come and join me? Some of y'all that are not as bright, George, you just kind of follow along. It's okay. We'll get him through it, Karen. Would you get him through it? Okay. Well, what we're going to do is I'm going to read a line in English, and Pastor Park is going to read that same line in Korean. And as we're reading through this, I want you to look for the Trinity. Look for the Trinity. In the early church, probably the first century, there were already some heresies to the gospel that were coming up. So this creed was formed. It's not scripture, but it is a summary of the uncompromising facts of the faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're gonna do that. Is everybody ready? Can we handle this? Let's rise if you are able. You're gonna need to get in that mic right there. I believe in God the Father Almighty.
전능하사 천지를 만드신 하나님 아버지를 내가 믿사오며
Maker of heaven and earth. You already said it. Okay, I'm sorry. My Korean's a little rusty. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
그 아들 예수 그리스도를 믿사오며
Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
성령으로 잉태하사
Born of the Virgin Mary,
동정녀 마리아에게 나시며,
suffered under Pontius Pilate,
본디오 빌라도에게 고난을 받으사,
was crucified, dead and buried,
십자가에 못 박혀 죽으시고 장사한 지 사흘 만에,
the third day he rose from the dead,
죽은 자 가운데서 다시 살아나시며,
he ascended into heaven,
하늘에 오르사,
and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
전능하신 하나님 우편에 앉아 계시다가
From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
저리로부터 산 자와 죽은 자를 심판하러 오시리라.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
성령을 믿사오며
The holy universal church.
거룩한 공회와
The communion of saints.
성도가 서로 교통함과
The forgiveness of sins.
죄를 사하여 주시는 것과
The resurrection of the body.
몸이 사는 것과
And the life everlasting.
영원히 사는 것을 믿사옵나이다.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you want to say anything? I didn't give you an opportunity. Do you want to say anything? No? You good? Okay. All right. I should have given him a little notice on that. We're so glad that you guys are joining us today. We're glad that you're here. So, I've read this, I've heard this, and sometimes you may even hear it coming out of pulpits that all religions, it's the same God. We just kind of get there different ways, and we have different beliefs about that. But it's basically the same God. If someone says to you that it's that statement that all religions are basically worshiping the same God, I would ask them, and I would encourage you to ask them, do you believe in the Trinity, the triune God? Because as Christians, that and it doesn't elevate us and make us better, but it is a It is a belief that we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Trinity. As Christians, that should be a core foundational belief. And if someone doesn't believe, we don't believe that Jesus was just a good man or a prophet. We don't believe just that. He was a good man. He was prophetic. But we believe that he is God made flesh. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. So go ahead and throw that slide up there, Lee. Now, I showed this a few months ago, but I really like that. If you look at the center there, start in the center, God. God is the Father. God is the Son. God is the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is not the Father. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. So we understand our finite minds, we can't completely grab hold of that, right? But I want to read a statement to you. This guy, I didn't really know much about this guy, Wes Huff. He's a theologian and apologist, and he made a statement that I ran across that I really like, and he says this: if God was fully comprehensible, if you could understand all the intricacies of who God is, it's probably a God that you made up. God is God, and I'm not, and you're not, and if we could fully understand and fully embrace everything boundless about God, he wouldn't be God. But we do understand through Scripture and through our own experience, we do understand this idea of the Trinity. It's not a hierarchy. It's not a hierarchy where God the Father's up here and Jesus is down here and the Holy Spirit's down here where they just, you know, kind of fall under one another. No, it's rather one God existing in three co-eternal divine persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons sharing one essence, one substance, and one nature. So let's talk a little bit more about each one of the Trinity, each member of the Trinity. First of all, God the Father, the Creator who loves you. We believe God the Father, he's the Creator who loves you. You can go all the way back. I've actually heard the statement, well, the Trinity is not in the Bible. Well, that word isn't in the Bible. That's a word that we have come up with to help explain the complexities of God. But that word isn't there. But the Trinity is all throughout God's Word. It's all throughout. In the beginning, God created, and the Spirit was hovering over the waters. And then later, as he's creating man, he says, let us create him in our image. So who's us? Who's us? God in and of himself, the triune God. John chapter 1, read John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Jesus, God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. I love this. Probably the most well-known passage in all of Scripture, John 3:16. If you don't know any Scripture, you might know that one. And it's listen to this. For God so loved the world. You can put your name in there instead of world, isn't it? Because it's not just that he loved the world out there. He loves you. For God so loved the world. That's the motive. What did he do? He gave his one and only Son. And the purpose was so we could have eternal life, where we would not perish. God loves us so. He knew that the law, he gave us the law to make us aware of our sin, aware of our sinfulness, our sinful nature, where we knew we could never achieve God's standard, which is holiness, righteousness. We could never do it in our own strength. So God, and he told us that the punishment for sin, the consequences of sin, is death. He knew we could never pay that debt, so what did he do? God became flesh. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. That's different. That's different than Jesus just being a good man, a prophet. It's different. 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God so loves us that he sent Jesus to pay the price that you and I owed. That's big, church. Is anybody listening? That's big. It's different. It sets us apart, not like we're special, but it sets apart what we believe. We believe that God is the triune God. God the Father sent Jesus because he loves us to die for us. He's the creator who loves us. Secondly, God the Son, the Savior who redeems you. The Savior who redeems you. And some of this, just kind of circling back to some of the things I've already said, the angel told Mary that and she was young and was a virgin, and he says, you're going to be with child. You're going to be with child. And he says, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means, say it with me, God with us. God with us. Not a great man with us, not a prophet with us. God with us. That's different. Don't be fooled. Don't let people say, well, it's all the same. We all really worship the same God. No. I worship Jesus. He's part of the Trinity. I worship Jesus. He is God. And if you don't believe that, you're something else. You're not a Christian. I'm not trying to be tacky here. I'm just saying, you're something else. If you don't believe Jesus is God made flesh. God the Son, the Savior who redeems us. And Jesus came. Yes, he taught us many things. He taught us how to walk out this life. But what he really came for was to accomplish this task of redeeming you and I, saving us. Jesus hanging on the cross, and he's hanging on the cross, and he's seeing these people who've down there gambling for his clothes, and his disciples have scattered. He sees the ones who betrayed him and falsely accused him of all sorts of things. He sees it down there, and he says, forgive them. But then, here's right before he takes his last breath, what does he say? It is finished. What's finished? What's finished? What I came to do, to redeem my people, to save you from sin and death. It's finished, Jesus says. I've done it. I've accomplished what I came to do. He is the Savior. Anybody else need a Savior that redeems you besides me? Am I the only one? Amen. We're sinners. We need a Savior. And I thank God for my Savior. Peter, you find this in 1 Peter chapter 2, that I love Peter because he's a knucklehead just like me. He tried really hard, but man, he was just getting it wrong over and over. Jesus comes to wash his feet. No, don't wash my feet. And then Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me and the rest of you are going to desert me. And Peter says, not me. If everybody else denies you, not me. And Jesus says, Peter, before the rooster crows three times, you'll say you don't even know me. And it happened. And then Jesus goes to the cross, and then he's resurrected. And the women find the empty tomb, and Jesus says, go back and tell my disciples that I've risen. And I don't know, I'm just putting myself in Peter's shoes. I really believe when they came back and said, we went to the tomb, it's empty, Jesus is risen, we saw him, and he's coming. I really think Peter's first thought was, uh-oh. Because he knows the last time he saw Jesus, he said, I don't know that man. That was the last time he saw him. But Jesus didn't greet Peter with scolding. He greeted and said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. He knew that Peter was a human being that was going to mess up. And that's why he went to the cross. For Peter and me and you. And here's what Peter says later when he encounters the resurrected Jesus, and he knows this is for real. Jesus really did it. He really is God. Here's what he says. He himself, Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Here it is. By his wounds you have been healed. I don't know. I try not to go crazy when I hear this, but when people tell me, there's two pretty prominent people that you would know names that say I think the way they phrase it is we're social Christians, and what they mean by that is we believe in the teachings of Christ. We believe when he says love your neighbor and do unto others as you'd have them do. We believe those things. We're socially accept that. That's good, morally good. But no, Jesus hung on a cross so that I might live and so that you might live. And to be diminished to say he was just a good man or a prophet flies all over me. I'm just saying, flies all over me. No, that Jesus took nails for me. He took nails for you. God the Son, the Savior who redeems. And then finally, the God, the Holy Spirit, the helper who empowers you. The Holy Spirit is God. And I'm going to say seven words. I want you to listen to them. Are you ready? The Holy Spirit is not an it. And I've probably fallen prey to that. We'll say, yeah, the Holy Spirit, yeah, it was here. Oh, I could feel the Holy Spirit. It was here. The Holy Spirit's not an it. The Holy Spirit's God. We can't see the Holy Spirit. We can encounter the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We can feel the Holy Spirit. He directs us. So many things. That's a whole nother sermon. But the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is not an it. Jesus said, I will ask that he's telling the disciples that he's getting ready to die. And I believe this passage is where he's telling them that he's going to ascend back to the Father. John 14, I will ask the Father, and you know they're anxious and grieving that, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Big S, Spirit, meaning God. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The Spirit of Truth. Anybody, I preached on that a couple of weeks ago. Does anybody need truth in our world today besides me? Because, man, we're getting a lot of that other stuff. We're getting a lot of the stuff that's not truth. So in Acts chapter 1, so this is as Jesus is preparing to ascend back to the Father, and again, the disciples must be very anxious about what's to come. And he says again, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. I don't know about you, I need that. And Jesus also says, when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. It just seems like if you need some truth, we ask the Spirit to give us truth. It seems to be what the Bible's saying, yes? Church, God is the triune God. Throughout Scripture, we see it. Jesus, what we've come to know as the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And this is a radical statement. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What's Jesus saying? I'm God. The Father's God. I'm God. the Holy Spirit is God, baptize in that name. He didn't notice, he didn't say baptizing them in the names. He said in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, he in one verse, the Trinity is in this one verse. Just listen to this verse. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It's all right there. One verse. That's the Trinity. The triune God. One God in three persons, working in perfect unity, each with their own purpose. The Father loves you, the Son saves you, and the Spirit lives in you. Church, I don't know about you, but because of that, I have hope. That's what Scripture tells us, and I know in my own life, I have hope because the Father loves me, the Son saved me, and the Spirit lives in me. That night that Jesus, God, made flesh, Jesus, sitting around these disciples, that he washes their feet, including Judas's. He's preparing this meal, this Passover meal that had been observed for hundreds of years. And he takes the bread and he changes the scripts and he knows what's going to happen to his body. And he takes the bread and he breaks it. And he said, this is my body broken for you. And then he takes the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant, something new. It's no longer under the law. He's fulfilled the law. This is a new covenant established in my broken body and my spilled blood. He said, as often as you partake of this meal, he said, remember me. Remember me. Remember what I'm doing for you right now. Remember what he has done for us. So if you'll just bow your heads for just a moment and pray your own personal prayer of confession before this God that loves you. Jesus, thank you for this meal. Thank you for becoming flesh. Thank you for paying the price that we owed. Thank you for saving us from sin and death and providing us abundant, whole, and eternal life. May this bread and cup be the body and blood of Jesus for us as we partake, and may we remember as you've asked us to remember. In Jesus' name, amen. If those who are serving will come forward, receive. Christ our Lord invites you to his table. This is not my table. This is not our church's table. This is the Lord's table. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior and you repented of your sins, you're welcome to come and partake. These two stations and these two stations over here, you'll be given a piece of bread. You dip the bread into the cup and partake in that way. If you'd rather have the individual elements, you can come to the center and take those and back to your seat and partake there, and you can discard your empty as you leave the church today. Jesus loves you. Come.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken in God the Father.
Once again, I want to thank you guys for being here with us today. What a blessing you were. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's good news, church. We have a God we can't fully understand, and that's good news. Go and share it in Jesus' name.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. We believe.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.